بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our third session, reading from the Sharh of the Medina Book 1. Today, the lessons that we want to take are the 5th and 6th, Ad-Dars Al-Khamis and Ad-Dars Al-Sadis. Before we look at the new lessons for today, we want to take a quick look at some of the points that we discussed last week. In the previous session, in the second session. So, from lesson number 3, Ad-Dars Al-Thalithu, on page 6 and 7, the first point that we covered was the harf ta'arif, yani alif lam harfu ta'arifin, yani the particle yani that is used to show, to distinguish between a word that is definite and indefinite. Yani harf ta'rif means alif lam ta'rif, the definite article in Arabic, in contrast to the tanween, which is the indefinite article. So they showed us here in this lesson number 3, the difference between a word that has tanween and a word that has alif lam. So they showed us, for example, baytun, a house, and al baytu, the house. Masjidun, a masjid, and al-masjidu, the masjid. So what they made us to know in this lesson is yuhdafu at-tanwinu inda dukhuli al-flam. Yani when the al-flam is attached to a word, the tanween, the double vowel at the end of the word, is omitted, it is deleted, it is removed. And then they gave us examples showing the mistake of having a word with both alif lam and tanween, or having a word with neither alif lam or tanween. The next point that we covered in that lesson was the two expressions, al-nakiratu and al-ma'arifatu. Al-nakiratu, yani indefiniteness, and al-ma'arifatu, definiteness. They told us that al-nakiratu means shay'un غير معين, يعني something that is not specific, that is not particular, like بيتون, a house, قلمون, a pen. And then they said المعرفة is شيء معين, يعني something that is particular or specific, like البيت, the house, القلم, the pen. They also told us that a word that is indefinite, that is nakira, like baytun, yashmalu kullal buyut, walaysa baytan muayyanan. That baytun, this is an expression that includes every house, all of the houses. It's not particular, yani it doesn't specify any particular house. Whereas al baytu with alif lam, yadullu ala baytin muayyanan bidhatihi, yani it points to a particular or specific house itself. The next thing we dealt with in this lesson was al-huruf al-qamariya and al-huruf al-shamsiya, yani the lunar letters and the solar letters, or sun letters and moon letters. And they said al-huruf al-qamariya yuntaqu al-sukunu al-lami, yani in the words that begin with lunar letters, al-huruf al-qamariya, you pronounce the sukun that is on the lamb, meaning you pronounce that lamb, you give it yani sound, al-qamaru. Whereas al-huruf al-shamsiyya, the words that begin with the sun letters or solar letters, la yuntaqu al-sukunu al-lam, yani the sukun is not pronounced on the lamb, meaning the lamb is not pronounced, it's merged into the first letter of that word that begins with a sun letter, and a shadda is placed on that first letter, yani the sun letter, yani the letter that comes after the lamb. So the lamb is not pronounced, but the first letter of the word, the sun letter, takes shadda and is doubled. So you don't say al shamsu, you say ash-shamsu. You don't say al-samadu, you say as-samadu, and like this. And then they gave us a number of examples, a list of the, yani, huruf qamariya, 14 letters, and huruf shamsiya, 14 letters, with examples for each of them. The other lesson that we discussed last week was ad-darsu al-rabi', yani on page 8, which the first thing that we dealt with was huruf al-jar, yani prepositions like fi, in, ala, on, min, from, and ila, to. And they said huruf al-jar, yani prepositions, tajurru al-isma alladhi ba'daha bil-kasrati. Yani that the preposition, the harf jar, makes the noun that comes after it, majroor, yani takes the genitive case, and the sign of that is the word ending with kasra. Then they gave us examples for each of those prepositions. And the second point that we had in this lesson was the word aina. They said, this word is used for su'alun anil makani, asking a question about a place. Yani, where is someone? And they gave us examples of that. And the third point we had in this lesson is the word ماذا. It is said that the word ماذا means ما هذا. What is this? ما هذا. ما, yani, is used for لغير العاقل. It's used for غير العاقل, yani, other than human beings. And then they gave examples of its proper use and improper use. The fourth point that they mention in this lesson is al-alamu al-mu'annathu la yunawwanu. Al-alam al-mu'annath, yani the feminine proper noun, female names like Aisha, like Zainab, like Maryam, like Fatima, female proper nouns, even if they end with ta marbuta or they do not end with ta marbuta, all feminine proper nouns, لا ينونوا, do not take tanween. They take a single vowel ending. That's because they are one of the categories of words that are ممنوع من الصرف, any diptotes. The two rules related to the words that are ممنوع من الصرف and the feminine proper nouns are included in them is that they do not take tanween, nor do they take kasra when they are in the genitive case, مجرور. The last point that we mentioned in this lesson was the word min, mim kasra, noon with sukoon. Yani it originally ends with sukoon, but if it's followed by alif lam, then you add a fatha to the noon, and it becomes min al bayti, for example, and so on. The explanation of that in Arabic, they said, yani hurrikat an noon bil fathati man'an لِلْتِقَاءِ السَّاكِنَيْنِ. Yani that if min that ends with sukoon is followed by alif lam, which begins with sukoon, if that happens, then the noon of min takes a fatha vowel, man'an, to prohibit or to prevent إِلْتِقَاءِ السَّاكِنَيْنِ, the meeting of two sakin letters, yani two letters that have sukoon. Those are the points that we covered in lesson 4. And this, yani, completes our review of what we covered last week. Hopefully, yani, part of your regular practice should be not only to preview the new lesson before we do it, yani, by doing the homework assignments that we get in advance of the lesson, but also, hopefully, you are reviewing previous lessons, not just last week's session, but even the first session. And if you do this constantly, then you'll find that you'll be able to retain the information that we take from one week to the next. Okay, at this point, let us begin with the lesson for today. Today's lesson will start with Ad-Darsu Al-Khamisu on page 9. Page 9, Ad-Darsu Al-Khamisu. And the format that we're going to be following, as we mentioned previously, just as a reminder, the format that we're going to be following is that we're going to read the lesson, we're going to translate the lesson, and we're going to discuss or explain some of the points that may need further clarification. After that, we're going to look at the English key and see if some of the points in the English key also may need to be reviewed. This particular book is intended to be a summary of the main grammatical points from Medina Book 1. It doesn't cover every grammatical point that's in Medina Book 1. Therefore, for some lessons, we're going to actually read directly from the English key some of the points that might not be mentioned in this sharh, in this explanation. Okay? And sometimes we'll skip over some of the points in the English key. We might not mention them all, but we'll mention some of them, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And then, after we finish the reading of the lessons, then inshallah we have some yani extra activities like vocabulary quiz from some of the vocabulary from each lesson, and listening exercise where I'll read some words or sentences, and all you have to do is don't look at the book, close the book, and just listen and see if you can orally translate. If we have time, at some point we're also going to try to do imla, which is dictation. We'll see how that goes. Okay, let's begin with page 9, Ad-Darsu Al-Khamisu. Yani the title of the first point is Al-Mudafu Wal-Mudafu Ilayhi. Al-Mudafu Wal-Mudafu Ilayhi. So generally, they identify Al-Mudaf as the thing that is possessed, and al-mudafu ilayhi as the possessor. Of course, this is not applicable in every case of the construct phrase, al-idafa. It's not applicable to every situation, because some idafa constructions are not an idafa construction that represents possession of something. Sometimes some idafa constructions may just show the relationship between two things, like one of them being a part of the other. Like the door is the part of the house. So you say babul bayt. Okay, the bab is not possessed by the bait. Yani the bab is not the possessed and the bait the possessor. Rather, the bab is a part of the bait. It's a part of the house. So sometimes the idafa construction is not always going to be the possessed and the possessor, but it is going to show some kind of relationship. It may be the relationship of two things, one of them being a part of the other. It may be a relationship between people, between a son and a parent, or a daughter and a parent, or a husband and a wife, and so on. Okay, may show that kind of relationship as well. It's not always going to be the possessed and the possessor, but in any case, that's how it's generally yani mentioned, that the mudaf is the possessed, the thing possessed, and the mudaf ilayhi is the possessor. As in the first example that they gave us, kitabun and muhammadun, when you put them together in the idafa construction, you get kitabu muhammadin. So the kitab here is the possessed, the thing that's possessed, and Muhammad is the possessor. Yani the book of Muhammad, or Muhammad's book. So Muhammad is the one who possessed the book, and the book is possessed by Muhammad. So that's what they mean when they say the mudaf is the possessed, and the mudaf ilayhi is the possessor. Kitabu Muhammadin, the book of Muhammad, or Muhammad's book. So we see in this first example, they say kitabun, they have an arrow pointing down, is the mudafun, yani the thing possessed in this case, and muhammadin, there's an arrow pointing down to the fact that it is the mudafun ilayhi, the possessor. What we notice here in this idafa construction, kitabu muhammadin, that originally these two words both had tanween. But when they came together, the first word loses its tanween. So please make a note of that, that kitabun, when it's put in the idafa construction, as the first part of an idafa construction, the mudaf, it cannot take tanween nor alif lam. And also notice that the second part of the idafa construction, in this example, Muhammadun, changed from being marfu'un with dhamma to majrurun with kasra. Muhammadun became Muhammadin. And this indicates to us that the second part of the idafa construction, the mudaf ilayhi, is always majrur in the genitive case. And the primary sign of a word being genitive is kasra. The next example they gave us is bintun and hamidun. So notice bintun as the mudaf is going to lose its tanween, and hamidun as being the mudaf ilayhi is going to have to become majrur. So bintun, a daughter, and hamidun, hamid, become bintu hamidin. The daughter of Hamid, or Hamid's daughter. bintu hamidin. Bintu, the mudaf, loses the tanween, and hamidun, mudaf ilayhi, becomes hamidin, majrur with kasra. The last example they gave us is kitabun, and the lafz al-jalala, Allahu. A book, and the second word, Allah. When we put it in the idafa construction, it becomes kitabullahi. So kitabun loses its tanween, and the lafz al-jalala changes from being marfu'un with dhamma, Allahu, to majrurun with kasra, Allahi. Kitabullahi. Okay, so the rule here is what? The mudaf, the first part of the idafa construction, never takes alif lam or tanween. And the second part of the idafa construction, it can take alif lam or tanween, but what is important, it must be in the genitive case, majrur with kasra. Now they give us some examples, which you should have translated for homework. Some of these examples are wrong, and some of them are correct. And we need to notice why the ones that are wrong, why they are wrong, and the ones that are correct, why they are correct. So the first example they gave us here, kitabun muhammadin, khata. This is incorrect. Why? Because the first part of the idafa construction, the mudaf, never takes tanween. The second part, muhammadin, is okay. But the idafa construction here is incorrect because the mudaf has tanween. The next, going across, they gave us the correct way to say this, kitabu muhammadin, yani the book of Muhammad or Muhammad's book, sahih. This is correct. Because the first word does not have tanween. The rule they said is, nahzifu at-tanweena inda al-idafati. Nahzifu, we omit or delete the tanween, the double vowel at the end of a word, inda, at the time of al-idafa, at the time of connecting them in the construct phrase, connecting two words in a construct phrase. At that time, the first part of the construct phrase, the mudaf, yani, loses its tanween. Next line, al-kitabu muhammadin, khata. This is also incorrect. Why? Because the first part of the construct phrase, we said it never takes alif, lam, or tanween. Okay? Whereas the second part of the idafa construction, the mudaf ilayhi, can take either one of them, either alif, lam, or tanween. Going across, they gave us the correct construction, kitabu muhammadin, the book of Muhammad or Muhammad's book. And then they told us the rule here is what? The mistake here in al-kitabu muhammadin was what? Nahzifu alif lam عند الإضافتي. We omit or delete the alif lam at the time of joining two words in the construct phrase, in the al-idafa. So these are two rules that we have to keep in mind. The first part of the construct phrase, and we have to remove the tanween, and we also have to remove alif lam. It should neither take alif lam nor tanween. So if the first part of the construct phrase does not take alif lam or tanween, the question could be, so how do we make it definite or indefinite? It becomes definite or indefinite based on the second part of the construct phrase. If that mudaf ilayhi is definite, the first part automatically becomes definite without alif lam. And if the second part is indefinite, then the first part becomes indefinite without tanween. The next line, kitabu muhammadun, khata. This is also a mistake. The first part is okay, kitabu, it doesn't have alif lam or tanween, but the second part is wrong because the second part, the mudaf ilayhi, must always be in the genitive case, majrur with kasra. We see it has muhammadun, yani marfu'un with dhamma. That's the mistake. So correctly it should be kitabu muhammadin, sahih. Here they said what? Al-mudafu ilayhi, meaning the second part of the idafa construction, is majrurun, yani in the genitive case, bil kasrati, yani indicated by the kasra vowel. Yani it should be Muhammadin. Okay, after this they gave us, yani the next line, amthilatun ukhra lil-mudafi wal-mudafi ilayhi. Other examples. Amthila is the plural of mithal. Other examples for al-mudaf and al-mudaf ilayhi. More examples of idafa. The first one, khalu hamidin faqirun. And this should have been translated for homework. Khalu hamidin faqirun. Khal means the maternal uncle. Maternal uncle. Yani paternal uncle is am with shadda on the meme. Ammun. Khalun, maternal uncle. The maternal uncle of Hamid is faqirun, poor. So, this construct phrase here is correct. Khalu doesn't have alif lam or tanween, and Hamidin is in the genitive case majrur with kasra. The next one, kitabu men hadha, yani the meaning. This should have been translated for homework. Kitabu men means the book, literally the book of who or whose book. Whose book is this? Kitabu men hadha, whose book is this? Here what I want to note is the word men is a special type of word, indeclinable. Yani in Arabic it's called mabniyun. Mabniyun. It means that its ending is fixed. It doesn't decline. It doesn't change from dhamma to kasra to fatha. It remains sukoon. Sukoon. So here, even though this is a construct phrase, kitabu men, the book of who? Men is the mudafun ilayhi. And we say, generally, the mudafun ilayhi is majrur, but this type of word, since it has a fixed ending, we don't say it's majrur, we say it's mabniyun, fixed on sukoon. Mabniyun ala sukoon. But it's in the place where it should be majrur. Okay? So, in terms of i'rab, how do we explain it? We say, kitabu men, the book of who? Yani kitab is the mudaf, and men is the mudaf ilayhi. We don't say mudaf ilayhi majrur, we say mudaf ilayhi mabaniyun, in the place where it should be majrur. Fi mahalli jar. The next line takes us to a new type of point. These are idafa constructions, and they include some of what we already discussed, but also they include another point here that's in this lesson, that is, words that begin with Hamzatul Wasl. Two words came in this lesson number 5 in the original Medina books, Ismun and Ibnun. These are examples of words in Arabic that begin with Hamzatul Wasl. And in brief, Hamzatul Wasl is used for a word that originally begins with Sukoon. Yani Ismun is originally beginning with Seen with Sukoon. Ibnun is originally beginning with Ba with Sukoon. And since you can't begin a word with sukoon, so they add Hamzatul Wasl to such words that begin with sukoon, and that Hamzatul Wasl is given a vowel that's only pronounced if you begin with that word. But if there's anything before it, then the vowel of the Hamzatul Wasl is not pronounced, and in that case, the Hamzatul Wasl is just used as a connector of what is before it to what is after the Hamzatul Wasl, that is the letter that has sukoon. Alright, so they give us a few examples for both of these words, ibnun, and also for ismun, and they show us that if it's in the beginning of the sentence, then the vowel of Hamzatul Wasl is pronounced, the kasra, but if there's something before it, then the vowel of Hamzatul Wasl is omitted. It's not pronounced, but rather, whatever is before it is connected directly to the letter that has sukoon. Okay, let's look at these examples and see these two words, ismun and ibnun, and also see construct phrases, idafa constructions. Okay, so the first example they gave us, masmu rajuli. Ma ismu ar-rajuli. Okay, we're not going to say ma ismu because since, yani, the kasra of ismu has only been added as hamzatul wasl. If there's anything before, we're not going to pronounce the kasra. So we're going to say masmu. Masmu, what is the name of? Ar-rajuli, the man. Ismu ar-rajuli is an idafa construction. Ismu has neither tanween or alif lam. Ar-rajuli has alif lam. And it also is majrur with kasra. Masmu ar-rajuli. What is the name of the man? The next example. Ibnu men anta. Ibnu men, the son of who? Anta, are you? Yani whose son are you? Here we see the word ibnu, yani begins with Hamzatul Wasl. Since we are starting with it, we pronounce its vowel, the kasra. We say, Ibnu men anta. The son of who are you? Whose son are you? Answer, Ana ibnu Khalidin. Yani, Ana ibnu Khalidin. But here, the word ibnu in this case, we are not beginning with it. And there's something before it, so we don't pronounce the kasra vowel. We actually join, yani, the word before it to the letter with sukun, the ba. That's the beginning of the word ibnu. So it became, Ana ibnu Khalidin. I am the son of Khalid. This is also an idafa construction, ibnu Khalidin. The first part of the idafa construction doesn't take alif lam or tanween, ibnu. And the second part is in the genitive case, majrur with kasra Khalidin. I am the son of Khalid. The last example he gave was question and answer. Masmul binti. Yani ma plus ismu plus al binti. So here the word ism, yani in this case we see that the kasra of ism is not pronounced because there's something before it. So we don't say ma ismu, we say masmu al binti. What is the name of the girl or the daughter? Okay, so here again we have an idafa construction, ismul binti. Ismu, the mudaf, doesn't take alif lam or tanween. Al bint takes either alif lam or tanween, and it's going to be in the, yani the mudaf ilayh is always going to be in the genitive case, majrur with kasra. The answer, masmul binti, ismul binti Zainabu. Ismul binti Zainabu. Here we see we begin with the word ism. In this case, we pronounce its vowel. So the vowel of these words that begin with Hamzatul Wasl, like ismu, ismun, and ibnun, and other such words, we only pronounce its vowel if we begin with it. Otherwise, if there's something before it, we skip past the Hamzatul Wasl and go right to the next letter with sukun and join them together without pronouncing the vowel of Hamzatul Wasl. Here the vowel is pronounced because we begin with it, so it became ismul binti Zainabu. This is an idafa construction. The word ismu doesn't have alif lam or tanween. Al bintu has alif lam. It has to take either alif lam or tanween unless it comes under a special rule. The second part of the idafa construction, al bintu, mudafun ilayhi, is majrur in the genitive case with kasra. And also, Zainabu, yani is a feminine proper noun. We'll see in the next lesson. Feminine proper nouns do not take tanween. That's why it has a single dhamma vowel. Okay, the next point of this lesson is al-munada. Halfway down the page we have al-munada. Al-munada. Al-munada, they said, al-munada huwa bima'na an taqula li sadiqika ta'ala. Huwa bima'na. It is having the meaning like an taqula, like you're saying li sadiqika, like you're saying to your sadiq, your friend, your friend or companion, ta'ala, come here, come on, let's go, ta'ala. Okay, al munada huwa bima'na, it is like having the meaning of you saying to your friend ta'al, yani to get someone's attention, yani you call them, right? So the munada is the one who is being called. And the particle that's used to call is ya, ya fatta alif, ya. Harf an nida, ya. Alright, so let's see the examples they gave us for al munada. Ya Muhammadu. O Muhammad. O Muhammad. Here, notice that Muhammad is a masculine proper noun. Masculine proper nouns generally take tanween, but it doesn't have a tanween, and that's because the munada, the word that comes after ya and nida, the vocative ya, the particle that's used to get someone's attention, the word that comes after it, called the munada, is mabniyun ala dhamma. Yani, it's fixed on dhamma. Takes a single vowel, dhamma. Ya Muhammadu. The next example, ya ustadhu, o teacher, o professor. Again, the munada ustadhu is mabniyun on dhamma. It takes a single dhamma vowel. Next example, ya waladu. Ya waladu. O boy. O child. Yani, again, the munada, the word that comes after ya and nida, that word is mabniyun, fixed on dhamma, a single dhamma vowel. It loses, if it had tanween, it loses the tanween after ya. The last example, ya bintu, O girl or O daughter. Yani again, bintu here is the munada, the one that you are trying to get the attention, the one that you're calling out to. And it is mabniyun ala dhamma, it takes a single dhamma vowel. The next line they show us, yani, the mistaken use, the erroneous use of ya and nida. You see we have, yani, ya shaykhun. Yani shaykhun, being the munada, is supposed to be mabniyun ala dhamma, taking a single dhamma vowel. So even though shaykhun generally can take tanween or alif lam, but after ya and nida, it takes a single dhamma vowel. So this is khata. Ya shaykhun is khata, khata, and what is correct is ya shaykhu. Ya shaykhu. O shaykh. This is sahih. And the rule they said here is, nahdhifu at-tanweena inda an-nida'i. Inda an-nida'i. Yani, nahdhifu, we remove, we delete, we omit the tanween. Inda an-nida, at the time of calling out to someone with ya an-nida, the vocative ya. The next point, okay, so, and al-munada, what is important here is that there are two parts here. There's the ya, the harf, yani harf an-nida, ya an-nida, the particle that's used to call to get somebody's attention, and then there's the word that comes after it, which is the munada, and the rule is that the munada takes a single dhamma. It's mabniyun on dhamma. It doesn't take tanween. There are some other rules related to it that we'll learn later on. The next point, and this is the last point of this lesson, is the last two lines, next to the last line, kitabu man hadha, the book of who is this? Yani, whose book is this? What I want to note, again, is that this is an idafa construction, kitabu man. Men is the mudafun ilayhi. Mudaf ilayhi, the rule for it is that it is majroor. But men is an indeclinable word. Yani it's a word that in Arabic we say is mabniyun. In this case it's mabniyun ala sukuni. Yani it's mabniyun ala sukun. Meaning it's always fixed with sukun on that noon, on the last letter of the word. Fixed on sukun. So, we, in this case, in terms of I'rab, we would say, kitabu men, kitab is the mudaf, marfu'un with dhamma, and men is the mudaf ilayhi, not majroor, mabniyun, fixed, ala sukuni, in the place where it should be majroor, yani fi mahalli jar. Mudaf ilayhi, mabniyun, ala sukun, fi mahalli jar, yani fixed, with sukun, in the place where it should be majroor. Mahalli jar, in the place where it should be majroor. So, mabniyun, this type of word is the opposite of mu'rabun. Mu'rab means its ending changes from dhamma to kasra al fatha. It changes from being marfu'un to majroorun to mansubun. Yani from the nominative case to the genitive case to the accusative case. That's mu'rab. The opposite is mabniyun. It doesn't change from dhamma to kasra al fatha. From being marfu'un to majrurun to mansubun. It's indeclinable. Alright, so this is the end of, yani, lesson 5. Now let's just go quickly to the English key. For lesson 5, yani, that comes with the original Medina program. Lesson 5, English key is on page 12. Okay, there are several points that are mentioned in the English key that are not covered in the summary sharh explanation here. Okay, so the first point of the English key is dealing with idafa, al-idafa. And we have covered this. Yani, the first part is called the mudaf, the thing possessed. And the second part is called the mudaf ilayhi, the possessor. And the rules concerning it is that the mudaf neither takes the definite nor indefinite article. It doesn't take alif lam or tanween. As far as the mudaf ilayhi, it is always in the genitive case. So it will take kasra, either a single kasra if it has alif lam, or double kasra if it doesn't have alif lam. But the point is, it's in the genitive case, majroor, And the primary sign of a word being majrur is kesar. The next point that they covered is kitabu men. We talked about this, that men is not in the genitive case because it's indeclinable. It's mabniyun. That means it does not change, yani, the vowel at the end to indicate its function. The next point that they mention at the bottom of page 12, D, is also, we didn't cover in this lesson. I want to mention it here. They give us the example. Ala maktabi al-mudarrisi. Note that maktab is in the genitive case because of the preposition ala. And al-mudarrisi is in the genitive case because it is mudafun ilayhi. What is the point here? Is that in Arabic, nouns are in the genitive case, majrurun, for two reasons, two primary reasons. Either it's following a preposition, as in ala maktabi, or it's the second part of an idafa construction, mudafun ilayhi, as in al-mudarrisi. These are the two reasons, primary, fundamental reasons why a word would be majrur in the Arabic language. If you turn to page 13, this is not mentioned in al-shar. Just briefly, the word tahta, which means under or underneath, and the rule here, this word is a dharf. Dharf al-makan, an adverb of place. And the adverb of place, like tahta, and amama, and khalfa, which we'll see in later lessons, yani the rule is that the word following, the adverb, is going to be in the genitive case because it is mudafun ilayhi. The word following, the dharf, al-makan, adverb of place, is going to be mudafun ilayhi majrur. So you see, tahta al-maktabi, mudafun ilayhi majrur. Tahta al-kitabi, mudafun ilayhi majrur. The next point, number three, ya is the vocative particle. A noun following ya has only one dhamma. Mabniyun ala dhamma. The last point are the words that begin with hamzatul wasl. The examples in this lesson were ibnun and ismun. Yani these words begin with hamzatul wasl. When preceded by a word, the initial kasra, or whatever vowel is added to a word that begins with hamzatul wasl, is dropped in pronunciation. And here I just want to note, as I close, yani this English key and close lesson 5, I want to note that hamzatul wasl is one of the two types of hamza in the Arabic language. This is what you learn when you learn the alphabet in the beginning of studying the Arabic language. That there is hamzatul wasl and hamzatul qat. And just briefly, hamzatul qat is the hamza that is a fixed part of a word. It's not added. It's initially a part of the word. Originally a part of the word. It's an essential, integral part of the word. As in the word abun or ummun. Or in the verb akhadha or ata. Okay? These words begin with hamzatul qat. And hamzatul qat can be in the beginning, middle, or end of a word. It is fixed in the word and it always has to be pronounced with its vowel or with sukun. As opposed to hamzatul wasl, it's added to a word only in the beginning of a word and its vowel is pronounced only if you begin with it, while if something is before it, its vowel is omitted. Okay, so that's just a note related to hamzatul wasl and hamzatul qat. Okay, let's move on now to the next lesson. Ad-darsu as-sadis. Ad-darsu as-sadisu. On page 10. At the top of the page it says, hadhihi. Even though the word has a single fatha, but it's pronounced as though it's fatha alif. Hadhihi. The same way as we said in hadha. Yani the ha is pronounced with the elongation of the fatha, even though the alif is not written there. Hadhihi. Hadhihi means the same as hadha, this. It's an ism ishara, like hadha. Except the difference between them is one difference. That hadha is used for nouns that are mudhakkar. And hadhihi here is used for nouns that are mu'annath. So let's look at what they say about hadhihi. They said, ismu isharatin lil mufradi al mu'annathi al qaribi al aqili wa ghayr al aqili. Hadhihi is what? Ismu isharatin. A noun that's used for pointing. Yani in English grammar they say demonstrative pronoun. Same as we said for hadha. Lil mufradi. Yani, just like hadha, it's used for things that are singular, not for dual or plural. Lil mufradi. Al muannathi, for things that are feminine, not masculine. Al qaribi, for things which are near, not ba'id, far. Al aqil, used for human beings, rational, intelligent beings. Wa ghayri al aqili, and also for non-human beings, irrational, non-intelligent beings. Okay? So the same as what we said about hadha, we say the same about hadhi, with one difference, that hadha is used for mudhakkar, masculine, and hadhi is used for mu'annath, feminine. So these words we should know by now, because we studied them with hadha, and we studied them with dhalika, except that we said with dhalika, instead of it being used for qareeb, it's used for ba'id. Okay, so hadhi is just like hadha. Ismu isharatin lil mufradi al qaribi al aqili wal ghayr aqili. The only difference is it's for mu'annath, not for mudhakkar. Okay, so when we say lil mufrad, we mean it's used for pointing to a singular thing. If there are two of them, we can't use hadhi, because we can only use hadhi for singular work, for singular things, pointing to something that is one, mufrad, not for muthanna, dual, not for jam, plural. Okay, when we say mu'annath, we mean not for mudhakkar, masculine. When we say al-qarib, we mean not for al-ba'id, far things, only for near things. And then it's used for aqil and ghayr aqil, rational and irrational beings. Now they give us on the right side examples of it being used for al-aqil, human beings. Had, and these are words that this part of the lesson should be translated. Hadihi khadijatu. This is Khadija. Okay, so hadi is being used to what? Point to a human being. Hadihi, going down. Bintun. This is a girl. Again, it's being used to point to a human being. Akil. The third example. Hadihi ukhtul muhandisi. Ukhtul muhandisi. This is the sister of the engineer. Again, it's being used to point to what? The sister, human being. And this is also an idafa construction. Ukhtu al-muhandasi. We see al-muhandas is mudafun ilayhi majroor with kasra. Let's go to the left column examples. Ghayru al-aqili. Ghayru al-aqili. For irrational, non-intelligent beings, other than humans. Ghayru al-aqili. First example. Hadihi. Sayyaratun. This is a car. Here, hadhi is being used to point to something that's ghayru aql, non-human, a car. Hadhi sayyaratun. This is a car. Next example. Hadhi mikwatun. This is an iron. I-R-O-N, meaning an instrument that's used to iron your clothes, to press your clothing. Yani the iron that you iron your clothes with when they are wrinkled. Hadhi mikwatun. From kawa yakwi, which means to iron your clothing. Again, hadhi here is being used to point to an irrational, non-intelligent entity, an iron, an instrument, not a human being. The last example, hadhi darrajatu anasin. Darrajatu anasin. This is the bicycle of Anas, or Anas's bicycle. Again, hadhi is being used to point to darraja, which is an irrational, non-intelligent, yani, entity, not human. So here they showed that hadhi can be used to point to aql as well as ghayru aql, rational as well as irrational beings. After this, they give us more examples. Amthilatun ukhra. Other examples. The first example. Hadihi udhunun. Wahadihi aynun. And these should have been translated. Hadihi udhunun. This is a udhun. Yani an ear. E-A-R. Yani that you hear through. The instrument that you use for hearing. Wahadihi Aynun. And what is intended here is an eye that you use to see with. Because Ayn, that word, has more meanings. Here, the note that we want to make is, Hadhihi is being used to point to Udhun and Ayn. And Hadhihi is used for only Al-Mu'annath, feminine things. That means that Udhun and Ayn are feminine, even though they don't have Taram Rabuta. So this point here that we're going to make here is that in Arabic, all nouns are either masculine or feminine. Generally, feminine nouns end with ta marbuta, but not always. So here we see an example of two words, udhunun and aynun, which are feminine, but they don't end with ta marbuta. Words that are feminine that don't end with ta marbuta or any feminine indication must be memorized that they are feminine. But in this case, yani you are helped because generally parts of the body that are in pairs or double, like you have two ears and two eyes and two legs and two feet and two hands, parts of the body that are in pairs or double are feminine. So even though you don't see the Tarmabuta, you know that Udhun is one of a pair, therefore it's feminine. Ayn is one of a pair, therefore it's feminine. Okay, so the point here is that nouns in Arabic must be either masculine or feminine. Even if they're living beings or inanimate beings, they must be masculine or feminine. The sign that a word is feminine is generally indicated by ta marbuta, but there are plenty of words that are feminine that do not have ta marbuta. In this case, we know that they're feminine by a special rule, and that is parts of the body that are in pairs are feminine. The next sentence, هذه يد وهذه رجل. هذه يد وهذه رجل. Translated meaning, this is a hand and this is a leg. Here the same note is applicable. Both yed and rijl have no sign that they are feminine. So this is from the class of words that are feminine, and you have to know that they are feminine without seeing a sign of femininity. But here we have the help of what? The fact that these are parts of the body that are in pairs or double, and parts of the body that are in pairs or double are feminine. The last sentence, هذه ملعقة وهذه قدر. Translated meaning, this is a ملعقة. What is a ملعقة? A spoon that you eat with, like a spoon and a fork. وَهَذِهِ قِدْرٌ, and this is a pot, P-O-T, yani that you cook in, cooking pot. Here, we see, in reference to words that are feminine, we see مِلْعَقَةٌ, which we know is feminine because it ends with ta marbuta, and we see قِدْرٌ, which we see no sign of femininity, and it's not a part of the body that's in pairs, so this comes under the class of words that are feminine without having a sign of femininity nor any rule to help us. You just have to memorize it. Qidrun has no sign of femininity, but it is feminine. It's like ardun. Yani ardun, the earth. Yani it is feminine, but no sign of femininity. And likewise, narun, fire. It is feminine, but it has no sign of femininity. And there are words in Arabic that are feminine without having a sign of femininity. Though generally speaking, words that are feminine have tarmabuta, and in order to make yani nouns or adjectives feminine, you can add tarmabuta generally. However, there are some words, the feminine and the masculine form, yani are not related, yani having the same form except the tarmabuta, but they have a totally different form, like akh and ukt, like ab and Yani generally speaking, you can make a word feminine by adding tarmabuta. So for example, yani if you said mudarrisun, you can make it feminine by adding tarmabuta, mudarrisatun. But there are some words, not so. You can't just add tarmabuta, rather they have a separate form altogether. So this is what we want to say about feminine nouns. Okay? And we're going to look at the English key after this. Maybe we'll see, yani some clarity on some of these points. The next line under amthila ukhra, we have هذه أنف وهذه فم خطأ. What is wrong with this sentence? هذه أنف. This is a nose. وَهَذِهِ فَمٌ, and this is a mouth. What's wrong is that we are using the feminine ism ishara. يعني للمؤنث, to point to something that is not مؤنث. أنفٌ is مذكر, and فَمٌ is مذكر. So the mistake here is that هَذِهِ is used as an ism ishara for things that are singular, yes, and things that are قريب, near, yes, for عاقل and غير عاقل. But it's not used for things that are مذكر. هذا is used for مذكر, and هذه is used for مؤنث, and أنف and فم are مذكر. The next sentence, هذا أنف وهذا فم صحيح. This is correct. يعني هذا is used for things that are masculine, and أنف is مذكر, and فم is مذكر. So it's correct to say هذا أنف, this is a nose, وهذا فم, and this is a mouth. Okay, after this, the next point that we want to make here is titled Al-Jumlatu Al-Ismiyatu. Al-Jumlatu Al-Ismiyatu. Al-Jumla Al-Ismiyah. Yani the nominal sentence. The nominal sentence. The sentence that begins with an ism. That's why it's called Jumla Ismiyah. Yani the nominal sentence begins with a noun, as opposed to al-jumla al-fi'liya, the verbal sentence that begins with a fi'l, a verb. So they say, concerning the jumla ismiya, al-jumlatu al-ismiyatu tatakawwanu min kalimataini tufidani ma'na taman mufidan wa tusamma jumlatan mufidatan. Let's go over it again. Al-jumlatu al-ismiyah, the nominal sentence. Tatakawwanu min is composed from or composed of kalimataini, two words. Yani from kalima, kalimataini, two words. Tufidani, which give us the benefit of a meaning, ma'na, meaning taman mufidan, that is complete, tam, and mufid, beneficial. Yani the jumla ismiya, the nominal sentence, tatakawwanu, is composed min, from, kalimatain, two words, which tufidani, give us the benefit of the meaning, a meaning that is tam, complete, and mufid, beneficial. Watusamma, and it is also called or named jumlatan mufidatan. Yani a beneficial sentence or a complete sentence. Now they give us examples. The first line of examples are with yani masculine words to begin with, yani proper nouns, common nouns, personal pronouns like huwa, and demonstrative pronouns like dhalika. So they use different words for the first part of the jumla ismiya, which we will see is known as the mubtada, the subject, and the second part is known as the khabar, the predicate. But we see in the first sentence, Muhammadun Talibun. Meaning, you should have translated it already, Muhammad is a student. So Muhammad is a proper noun. The mubtada here is a proper noun. Second sentence, Al-Babu Mughlaqun. Meaning, the door is closed, shut. Naam. Al-Babu here is a common noun. Yani, any door is called a bab. It's not particular to any particular door. It's a common noun. Whereas Muhammad is a proper noun, the name of a particular specific person. The next example, Al-Mindilu Wasikhun. The handkerchief is Wasikhun, dirty. Al-Mindil also, common noun. Huwa Muslimun. Here, the Mubtada, the subject, is a Damir, a personal pronoun. Damir, huwa, muslimun, he is a Muslim. And the last example, thalika qamarun, here the mubtada is a ism ishara, yani ism ishara, for that which is ba'id. Thalika qamarun, that is a moon. Now we see examples of jumla ismiya with feminine mubtada. The first one, Fatimatu Talibatun. Fatimatu Talibatun. Here we see Fatima is a proper noun, the name of a female, a specific person. Fatima is a female student. Next one, النافذة مفتوحةٌ. The window is open. And here we see, النافذة, the مبتدأ, is a common noun. The next example, القهوة لذيذةٌ. Yani, the coffee is tasty, delicious. And here again, القهوة is a common noun. Then we have, هي مسلمة. يعني a personal pronoun, ضمير. هي مسلمة. She is a female Muslim. And the last example, تلك شمس. تلك شمس. That is a sun. Here we have an ism إشارة. And here we see that it is the ism إشارة for that which is بعيد, like ذلك, but ذلك is used for masculine and تلك is used for feminine, which makes us to know that the word شمس is another word that's feminine, even though it doesn't have any feminine indication. شمسٌ. So you have to learn that the word شمس, like the word قدرٌ, the cooking pot, like أرض and نار, are words that are feminine but do not have a feminine ending. Okay, after this, one other point that I want to make here is that the Jumla Ismiya is composed of two parts, which we're going to see in a minute, but I just want to clarify a point before we get to that. The Mubtada and the Khabar. And the Mubtada and the Khabar have to agree in being, yani masculine or feminine. So we see, Muhammadun Talibun, masculine with masculine. Al-Babu Mughlaqun, masculine with masculine. Fatimatu Talibatun, feminine with feminine. And Nafidatu Maftuhatun, feminine with feminine. So they have to agree in number one, both being either masculine or feminine, the Mubtada and the Khabar, subject and predicate. And they also have to agree in number, in being singular, dual, or plural. They do not have to agree in being definite or indefinite. You see that the Mubtada in each one of these examples is a word that's definite, while the Mubtada is a word that's indefinite. Now let's look at the last two lines. حَقِيبَةُ مَنْ هَذَا. حَقِيبَةُ مَنْ هَذَا. The bag or the briefcase of who? Whose briefcase is this? It says after it, خَطَعٌ. This is a mistake. Why is it a mistake? Because هذا is an ism إشارة used to point to things that are مذكر. And حَقِيبَةٌ is ending with تَا مَرْبُوتَ, which tells us that it is feminine. After that, حَقِيبَةُ مَنْ هَذِهِ. The bag or the briefcase of who? Whose briefcase is this? صَحِيحٌ. This one is correct. Because هَذِهِ is the ism إشارة used for things which are مُؤَنَّث, and حَقِيبَةٌ is مُؤَنَّث. Next sentence. الْغُرْفَةُ مَفْتُوحٌ. The room is open. خَطَى. This is a mistake. Why? Because الْغُرْفَةُ is feminine and مَفْتُوحٌ is masculine. And we said the مُبْتَدَى and خَبَر have to agree in being masculine or feminine, and also in number, in being singular, dual, or plural. So الْغُرْفَةُ being feminine, يعني it would be wrong to say, to add the خَبَر مَفْتُوحٌ, which is masculine. Then they give us the correct way, الْغُرْفَةُ مَفْتُوحَةٌ. مَفْتُوحَةٌ, feminine with feminine, the room is open, صَحِيحٌ. Last line is explaining to us the technical expressions used for the subject and the predicate in the Jumla Ismiya, the nominal sentence. They gave us the example, Muhammadun Talibun. Muhammad is a student. Muhammadun is the mubtada'un, the subject. Talibun is the khabarun, the predicate. Tilka shamsun, that is the sun. Tilka is the mubtada'un, the subject, and shamsun is the khabarun, the predicate. Now let's go to the English key and see some of the points that were not mentioned in the shar here. The first point for lesson 6, English key, page 15. In this lesson we learn hadhi, which is the feminine of hadha, and it is pronounced elongating the first syllable, hadhi, but the aleph is omitted in writing. They said the second point, nouns and adjectives are made feminine by adding A, the letter, ta marbuta at the end. The last letter before this ta marbuta takes a fatha. Meaning, whenever you make a word feminine by adding ta marbuta, the last, after you take off the tanween, the last letter must take a fatha, and then you add ta marbuta. So mudarrisun became mudarrisatun, mudarrisatun. Azizun became azizatun. Kareemun became kareematun, and so on like this. Then they said, under number two, certain nouns have a separate form for feminine, like ibnun and bintun, akhun and ukhtun, and so on. Okay, we mentioned that. Then they give us the rule. All nouns in Arabic are either masculine or feminine. Feminine nouns and adjectives usually, generally, mostly, have the ta marbuta ending. But there are certain words which do not have this ending. Yani, like we mentioned in this lesson, kidrun and shamsun and other such words which do not have the ta marbuta ending. Students, when learning a new noun, must learn its gender. Is it mudhakkar or mu'annath? And then they give us the rule, double members of the body are usually feminine, while single members are masculine, and they give us examples of double members that are feminine. Yadun, rijlun, aynun, and udhunun. Yadun is hand, rijlun leg, aynun eye, udhunun ear. Then point number three, which we didn't look at, we didn't see in the sharh, yani, very small point that we had in lesson four, prepositions. They gave us a new preposition, li. It's a preposition meaning belongs to or for, as in hadha li bilalin, this belongs to or this is for Bilal, wa dhalika li hamidin, this belongs to or is for Hamid. Okay, and that's basically what we're going to read from the English key. There are a few other secondary points. And yani, for homework, you should have looked at the English key, so hopefully you have already seen those points. Okay, this is the end of what we wanted to cover in terms of the two lessons for today, Lesson 5 and Lesson 6 as a review. And what we want to do in the few minutes that's remaining is have a couple of extra curricular activities that I hope everybody will benefit from. The first of them is a vocabulary quiz. Yani, from some of the vocabulary in lesson number 5. Yani, if you don't know these words, then it would be worthwhile trying to learn some of them. If you studied Medina Book 1, then you should know these words, or at least most of them. If you find that you studied Medina Book 1 and you don't know most of these words, it means you need to go back to Medina Book 1 and yani, review your vocabulary. If you know most of them, then no harm. Okay, so let's have a quick vocabulary quiz. I'm just going to read some words. I don't want you to write them. All I want you to do is orally translate them. I need to make sure we know that you know the meanings. The first word, ar-rasulu, means the messenger. Al-ammu, with ayn and meem with shadda. Al-ammu means the paternal uncle, meaning the brother of your father. Al-shari'u. Al-shari'u, ending with ayn, the street. This also has another meaning. The shari' is the one who, yani, legislates. Yani, Allah is the shari', the one who legislated the divine laws. The next word I want to skip to is al-khalu. Al-khalu means the maternal uncle. Yani, the sister of, your mother's sister. The sister of your mother. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Maternal uncle. I mean the brother of your mother. The brother of your mother. Al-khalu, the brother of your mother. Mughlaqun. Mughlaqun means closed or shut. The opposite of maftuhun. Al-ismu means the name. Al-haqibatu means the bag or the case or briefcase. Those are the words that I wanted to read here from Lesson 5, and then we want to look at a couple of words from Lesson 6 as well. You don't need to open the book, you just need to try to see if you know these words by just hearing them, if you remember their meanings. Okay, the first word, al-anfu. We had that in today's lesson, nose. Al-famu, mouth. Al-qidru, cooking pot. Al-udhunu, ear. Al-aynu, eye. Al-yadu, hand. Al-rijlu, leg. Sari'un, ending with ayn. Sari'un means fast. An-nafidhatu, window. Al-sharqu means the east. Al-maghribu means the west, and so on. Okay, those are just a few words that, yani, if you know most of them, then inshallah, you're in a good condition, good state, you're in a good position, you shouldn't have any problem, but it's always good to go back over the vocabulary words and try to make sure that you don't forget them, al-muraja'ah. Okay, now we want to just take another few moments and do a listening exercise. The listening exercise is also, in a sense, yani for translation, but it's not vocabulary. These are going to be expressions or sentences. I want you to just listen without looking at the book. I'm going to read some expressions to you from lesson number 5, and I want you to just listen and see if you can comprehend their meanings, if you know their meanings. So you can orally translate them for yourself, but the main thing is I want you to just listen, concentrate, and see if you can understand what you hear in the same way that you understand what you read. Okay, the first one. Masmu ar-rajuli. Masmu ar-rajuli. Meaning? What is the name of the man? Second. Ibnu man anta. Ibnu man anta. The son of who are you? Yani, whose son are you? أنا ابن خالد. أنا ابن خالد. يعني أنا ابن خالد. Meaning, I am the son of Khalid. The next one. ما اسم البنت. ما اسم البنت. ما اسم البنت. Meaning, what is the name of the girl? اسم البنت زينب. اسم البنت زينب. The name of the girl is Zainab. Naam. Next one. Qalamu man hadha. Qalamu man hadha. The pen of who is this? Yani, whose pen is this? Hadha qalamu khalidin. Hadha qalamu khalidin. This is the pen of Khalid. Just a couple more sentences for listening. هذه أذن وهذه عين. Meaning, this is an ear and this is an eye. هذه يد وهذه رجل. This is a hand and this is a leg. هذه ملعقة وهذه قدر. This is a spoon, and this is a pot. Finally, حقيبة من هذه. حقيبة من هذه. Whose bag or briefcase is this? الغرفة مفتوحة. الغرفة مفتوحة. The room is open. Okay, this is the completion of what we wanted to do today. There's still a few moments remaining, so as not to waste time, inshallah, we're going to do dictation today, al-imla. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of words that I want you to write. And I'm going to be also writing them with you, so I know that you have enough time to write them. Okay, so I know that you have enough time to write them. Just a couple of sentences of dictation. Okay, listen up. And write. I hope you have a piece of paper or pen or something near that you can write with, okay? The first one. You have to write now, okay? Please. ما اسم الرجل؟ ما اسم الرجل؟ ما اسم الرجل. Properly pronounced, we should say ما اسم الرجل. ما اسم الرجل. Tayyib, the next one. Ibn man anta. Write it out. Write out what you hear without looking. Without looking at the book to see how to spell the words. Imla requires you to know how to spell words that you are familiar with, that you know, that you studied. You have to know how to spell them without looking at the book. Ibnu man anta. Okay, I'm going to write this one. Ibnu man anta. Ibnu man anta. Whose son are you? Ibnu man anta. The next one. Ana ibnu Khalidin. Ana ibnu Khalidin. I'm going to write it now. Ana ibnu Khalidin. Ana ibnu Khalidin. Ana ibnu Khalidin. I'm the son of Khalid. One more. Masmul binti. Ma ismul binti. Masmul binti. I'm going to write it. Ma ismu al binti. Masmul binti. Ma ismul binti. What is the name of the girl? And finally, ismul binti Zainabu. Ismul binti Zainabu. Write it. Ismu al-binti Zainabu. Yani, ismul binti Zainabu. Okay, this is what is called imla. Yani, where you listen without seeing anything. And then you write what you heard. Okay, so you have to listen, you have to recognize the words, and then you have to be able to write them, to spell them, and to write them out. And this is one of the exercises that I suggest in our regular homework, yani program, that is that you read the lesson, that you write the lesson, and that you listen to somebody reading it to you while looking at the book. And then again, you read the lesson, but this time from where you wrote it in your own handwriting. And then you, yani, for a second time, yani, you read, you write, and you listen a second time. You read from your own handwriting, and then you write from what you listen to. You listen to somebody reading it, and then you write it. That's called imla. Okay, so you read the lesson twice, you listen to it twice, and you write it twice. But the second listening and writing is going to be in one exercise. You're going to listen and you're going to write at the same time. And that's what we just got finished practicing just now. Our time is up now. So I hope that everybody, yani, was able to, mashallah, I see somebody has written here in Arabic these imla sentences. Mashallah, mashallah. So, and I see also some of the exercises that we went through were translated. So this is very, very good. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. May Allah bless each of you, yani, in your studies and in your worldly lives, in your relations with your families and friends, and most importantly in your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah heal our sick and protect our weak and keep us firm upon the path that is pleasing to Him until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. The next session, yani the next class, I mean today, will be at, instead of 3 o'clock, it's going to be at 3:15. Yani we moved each class back a little bit, so the next session for Medina book 2 is going to be at 3:15 instead of 3 o'clock, 3:15.